Now, I'm already apologised for those here this afternoon for my voice. Apologise for those who joined us this evening as well. All you can rejoice in is that it's a few octaves lower than it normally is. So probably it's just about right for you. I don't know. Maybe it will get oiled up as we go along. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Now, I must confess that some months ago now, I saw the first advert in the Believer's magazine for the Air Bible readings. And having been here a couple of occasions in the past, I was interested to see who's speaking and what the passages are. I must admit, I sat there with some sense of pleasure. Now, I wasn't one of the speakers for this session when I saw that it was Romans through and through. I must confess I spared a thought for you, even for you. And I just wondered what you felt about Romans through and through. I wondered if some of you might wonder whether you would lose the will to live. Little did I realise when I was feeling comfortable at all that, that I would eventually end up here speaking and leading sessions, Romans through and through. But here we are. And by the grace of God, we trust we should be given help so as to do. Now I must confess, when I came down to consider these passages that I've been allotted, I somewhat regretted that when the brethren contacted me a short while ago and asked whether we just wanted passages or titles to the passages, I must confess this evening, I regret somewhat deciding just verses and chapters. Just the passage. Don't worry about titles. I must confess. I regret that somewhat, because I also determined when these sessions were going to be held on a evening session that I wanted to do a number of things. One of them because it was Romans through and through and through. One of the things was I wanted to make them brief. And titles, perhaps, focus the mind. Brief titles focus the mind, and therefore the message becomes briefer than it would have done. Don't misunderstand me. Don't quote me out of context. I wanted the messages to be bouncy. Well, I've lost my voice, so they can't bring that anymore. But we'll see what we can do. Because I realise you're having long innings on Romans, and it can get very heavy. So I wanted them, I speak very carefully and very reverently, to be light and bouncing. That is, I wanted to enthuse you about them and not feel that it was going to be something that's turgid. And I hope you'll agree tonight that Stephen's already done that for us. Show us that they don't need to be turgid. They can be exciting and thrilling. So, I wanted the messages to be bouncy. I hope we'll manage to achieve that as the week goes on and as the voice gets a bit more oiled up, if the Lord will. Brief, bouncy, and I wanted them above all, I'm not going to give you a B here, I wanted them to be practical. I want you to go away with something. I want you to go away rejoicing, and I want you to go away with something you say, yes, we can actually put that into practice. We've had that tonight. I'm going to try and live up to that as well. So, can I just say to begin with, here are my titles, and you can dwell on them during the course of the week. My first passage, Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, and I'm just going to interest you tonight in one man. That's the title, One Man. Tomorrow night, if the Lord will, on Tuesday, My passage is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Listen carefully. And the title for the message is simply this: Wanted, Dead, and Alive. Wanted, Dead, and Alive. I want, thirdly, if the Lord will, on Wednesday evening, Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. It will not be a monologue on divorce and remarriage. That's not what it's all about. The title is Free at Last. Free at Last. I want to interest you in Free at Last. Thirdly, Romans chapter 8, we've been there this afternoon in this thought. Paul says, I am a debtor. The title for Thursday evening, We Are Debtors! Exclamation mark. I want to interest you in that. And fifthly, if we're still surviving by then, voice-wise, Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 13, a rather unusual title, but read the passage, you'll see what I mean. I want you to groan for glory. Groan for glory. And I hope those simple titles will just make it practical. And I hope those simple titles will just give us something to take away. And I hope those titles will just help me, which I'm not very good at, appealing through. We'll see how we go. Share with me in the journey. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And here's the brevity tonight, because the next section is in brackets, is in parentheses. I'm not even going to go there, so don't lose the will to live. Come down to verse 18, where the parenthesis ends. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might Christ reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord. And God will add his own blessing to the living of his word. Can I suggest tonight one of the most thrilling sections of the Bible? Did you know that? Have you read it in that light? It plumbs the deepest depths and yet gloriously reaches the greatest heights. It's almost a challenge as you read through it to stay with the pulsating flow of the passage. Go home and read it again. And the passage just drives you on and just wants you to move on. It's pulsating in its drive. And it's a job to stay with it. But it's worth staying with it. For from the deepest depths, you're taken to the most amazing heights. And if you don't get excited about that tonight, then there's something wrong with you, not with the Word of God. You notice that we went through. The word one is used 11 times. And that word one leads us to Adam, but far more excitingly, it leads us to Christ. Have a look at one. And that's why I've entitled this little session tonight, One Man. My only desire tonight is to interest you in one man. And if we can all go out of this door tonight interested in that one man, then Stephen and my work here tonight will it be worthwhile? Tonight is all about Christ. It's all about Him. One man. The word rain appears 5 times. 2 men. Adam reigns. Adam fails. Christ reigns. Christ triumphs. The word rain. Have a look at it. Study it for yourself. Ministry is not meant to be exhaustive. We've already had it tonight. 3 times in this little section, the word much more. Much more. Isn't it great just to think about this? That in Christ, we have much more than we ever lost in one man, Adam. In one man, Christ. We are so gloriously rich. So have a look at the passage. Go home and study yourself. Look at the ones, look at the rain, look at the much more. But let's start in verse 12. And let's start in the depths. Let's start in the lowest of low places, because we don't want to end up there. I don't want to send you out in the depths. I want to send you out in the heights. Let's start in the depths. Not comfortable, but we must start there. If I were to do my ex-teacher job tonight and come down with pencil and paper and just say to you, write down the word ruin. And now, in not more than 26 words, write down for me your definition of the word ruin. What would you write? What words would come out? What thoughts would come out? What expressions would come out? What ideas are there in your mind if I said, define the word ruin? No more than 26 words. Well, let me actually define the word ruin for you. It is. It's actually in verse 12. And here is ruin. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Is that ruin? 26 words. Just 26 words to describe the ruin of the human race. I don't suppose if we turned up the Oxford Dictionary tonight when you get home, you would actually find that definition. But that's the scriptural definition of ruin. 26 simple words. Read them again. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It all starts, ruin, it all starts with one man. It's amazing, isn't it? The depths to which one man can bring others. History is riddled with examples of the depths to which one man can bring a nation or a group of people. But none of them match the depths to which Adam brought others. One man. Moses? It's not only one man, but in verse 12, it talks about as by one man sin. This isn't sins that people commit. This is the sin, the one great sin that Adam committed. And I don't need to remind you of that tonight. We're not talking about the individual acts of sin that you and I do. By one man's sin, by his one great act of disobedience, that is what is meant by sin. By that one great act of disobedience, look at verse 12 again, here is the ruin. It says, by one man sin entered into the world. Didn't belong there. Sin was an invader there. Sin entered into the world. Not something that was left over from previous events, but something that came in. No matter what theologians try to teach you about how sin came in, by future events that we don't have recorded in the Bible, it's not something that was left over from previous events, but something that came in, says the scriptures. Something that entered at a time when there was nothing of its kind, either in man or in the world. Came in from outside. And now resides inside. Sin is an intruder, and it's secured its footing by way of Adam. Ruin. One man. Sin. Entered into the world. Notice verse 12, ruin. And so it says, into the world, and death by sin. Death followed the entry of sin into the world. Don't misunderstand me. There's not a single scientific reason why man should die. Man was created a deathless being. It's not natural to man's constitution to die. Perhaps that's why we fear it so much. But by one man, sin invaded God's world. And with sin came death, and I'm sure it's thinking more there than just of physical death. It's talking about spiritual, eternal death as well. But death came in. And look at verse 12. This is ruin. Verse 12. It says, so death passed upon all men. Universal. Notice, this is ruin. Very important statement, verse 12. For that all have sinned. And something new comes in that has never been there before. And that so many believers don't even begin to grasp to that. It doesn't say all sin. Although that's true. Or do sin. But that's not what it said. It says that all have sinned. And we so often talk, don't we, in our sessions about the aorist tense. A completed once for all act. All have sinned. All of us sinned. It's as simple as this. All of us sinned in that one act of Adam's disobedience. Adam, his word, his name simply means mankind. He's the federal head. He's the representative of the human race. Whether we like it or not, there is unity in the human race. Adam and ourselves, one of another. If I may use this terminology, I don't want to be technical, but there is corporate solidarity in Adam, and there are no exceptions to that. Corporate solidarity is something which we as individuals find hard to take on board. Let me illustrate. I had a senior management team in the school where I was head. A senior management team of 8 people. I used to say to them, we're going to thrash out important issues in this room here today. We're going to express important views here in this room today. And it may well be along the track that some of you will disagree with the decision that we actually reach. But we need in this room today corporate solidarity. That is, when we move out of the door, and when we move out onto the corridors, and we move there, out there among the staff, when they get to know the decision that we've made, there is corporate solidarity among us. I had one of that senior management team who never, ever managed to achieve that. Of course, I didn't agree with it. Of course, I made a different view altogether. And of course, if they had followed me. And that one member of the senior management team was a fly in the ointment on every decision we made. You could never trust that he would go out the door and recognise corporate solidarity, that because we had made the decision in that room together, we held together, we stuck together through thick and thin. Corporate solidarity. Listen. That's precisely, though the illustration falls well short, that's precisely what I'm saying here in relation to Adam. Corporate solidarity. That corporate solidarity means that Adam sinned, therefore we all became sinners. We stand together. There's a corporate identity. Sin entered into the world and all have sinned and all have become sinners. We made this point in Glenburn yesterday. We get obsessed when we preach the gospel sometimes with the sins that people have done which are wrong. That should not be the emphasis of the message of the gospel. Because if I just talk about the individual sins that people commit and Christ died for us in that particular respect, what I run the risk of doing is this, of someone saying, but look at him, look at her, they're sinners, they need salvation, but not me. Look at what they do, I don't do that. Look at what they do, it's more serious than what I do. Look at the murderer in the prison cell. Look at the tramp in the gutter. They need salvation, but not me. It's not a question of what we've done in the message of the gospel. It's a question of what we are. We are sinners in need of salvation. Christ died for sinners. And the moment I was born into this world, the moment you were born into this world, the moment all of us in this room were born into this world, there was a corporate identity that we had with Adam. Because Adam sinned, it's as simple as this, we sinned. Because Adam became a sinner, we are sinners. Corporate identity. This is total and utter ruin. You only need 26 words to describe it. I've used probably 1,066. Here's the ruin. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death passed to all men, for that all have sinned. And you are now, through corporate solidarity with Adam, you are as low as you can get. You are as ruined as you can be. I think so often we just fail to get over the right truth to sinners. I'm not talking about what you've done, I'm talking about what you are. Sinners. In Adam, in Adam. Because Adam sinned, we sin. Because Adam's a sinner, we're a sinner. We know what it is to talk about corporate solidarity in other ways. We weren't all at the cross. But the Bible tells us we are crucified with Christ. We weren't in the upper room or present on the day of Pentecost. But the scriptures say, by one spirit were we all baptized into one body. We weren't in the garden on the resurrection morning. But we rise with Christ. We weren't in the garden when Adam fell. But we all fall. That's corporate solidarity. And my one member of the senior management team, I knew that the moment he went out the door, he'd opt out of it. And he'd be betraying everything we stood for to people outside. You can't walk out of this door and opt out of it. There is no opting out of it. Total ruin. Total ruin. Naturally speaking, no way back. It's no good claiming either, but it's not fair. It's not fair. Because if I had been there in the Garden of Eden, and if I had faced what Adam did, I wouldn't have done what he did. Let's be honest, what he did, we do every day of our lives. There's no opting out of this responsibility. There's no opting out of this ruin. 26 words, and you're lost. Without hope, without God. But don't be alarmed. Isn't it lovely to know that the same principle of solidarity, corporate solidarity, that ruins us, it's the principle of corporate solidarity that saves us. Isn't that great? The very thing that ruins you is the very thing that saves you because of one man. Corporate solidarity with Adam, one man, lost. Corporate solidarity with Christ, a mind. It's an upward path all the way to glory. The same principle that damned you is the same principle that saves you. Right? How gloriously God works. I quite often read the writer, something you may do, called Roy Lauren. An American author, he's got some lovely things to say. He just says this about this absolute ruin. He says, it produced a cause which has followed the fortunes of humanity from its cradle in the Mesopotamian Valley to its present wide extent throughout the whole world. It has soaked our battlefields with blood, filled our jails with criminals, filled our hospitals with sufferers, filled our cemeteries with dead, filled our homes with discords, and our hearts with unrest. That's what corporate solidarity with Adam has brought. But the fact still remains that we sinned because he sinned. The result of our sin is not our guilt, it's our nature. It's what we become. That's the result of this. Sinners, without hope, without God. We can't hide behind Adam, we can't hide behind God. The truth is, We must accept responsibility for our ruin. Search your Oxford dictionaries. They'll tell you something entirely different about ruin. But in just 21 words, Paul tells you what ruin is. And you were part of that. And so was I. I just pray God tonight there's no one here who's still part of that. I trust that every single one of us here tonight has met another man. We met one man, Adam, we couldn't do anything about that. The moment we were born, we met Adam. We're linked with that one man inseparably, indissolubly, in that sense. But have we met another man? One man brought so much ruin. One man has brought so much pleasure. Praise God for that. I like the words of the hymn writer. Well might the hymn writer ask this question. Oh, how shall I, whose native sphere is dark, whose mind is dim, before the ineffable appear, and on my naked spirit bear the uncreated dream? I love the words, don't you? There is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode. Right. What seems utterly and completely hopeless and helpless, we gaze at another man, one man, and he makes all the difference. Look down at verse 18. By one man's offence, Adam's, judgment, condemnation upon all that Adam represents. He's the representative man of us all. By the righteousness of one man, the free gift came upon all men. What does Christ bring? Death, hopelessness, darkness. One man brings justification of life. We've heard it already tonight. We're going to hear it time and time again this week. Get justification in your mind. I know that the word justification here is slightly different from what you mean elsewhere. And the meaning is slightly different. But nonetheless, essential to the thought of justification is the bestowal of a righteous status. Of the reinstatement of us to fellowship and favour and communion with God. Justification. The vindication of those who were unrighteousness. And I love one author's words. He puts it like this. Eternal life is God's answer to the graves that dot the earth and the death that surrounds us. My. What a difference with this one man. One man's solidarity brought ruin. But our Christ's solidarity far exceeds our ruin and leads to a great rise. We could not go lower. Rejoice with me tonight. We could not go lower tonight. We cannot go higher. And how lovely to know this, that as we end the section together, you've been very patient today. So let me end the section with you. We discover this, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, sin brought death, physical, spiritual. Even so, I don't need to add, Stephen has eloquently talked to us about grace tonight. As we look at death, sin bringing death, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. And although Jesus Christ our Lord might be missing in other sections, it isn't here. by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, sin is a painful ruler. Sin is a harsh ruler. It brings death. But when it comes to the reign of this one man, grace is the perfect ruler and directs life into the most pleasant places that you could ever imagine. Where I stand tonight, and the most perfect place I've been brought into is justification of life. And here I stand, the possessor of eternal life, bound for heaven, and bound to be with that one man whom having not seen, I know. My, what a journey. 26 words coming to ruin my life. One man leads you into life. Life in all its fullness. Restores you to fellowship with God. Restores you to fellowship with Him. That means that you have the prospect of an eternity in heaven with Him. Unbroken, uncloudless days. With Him and like Him. For all eternity. Hallelujah. What a saint.
Amen.
May God bless you good.